We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios. Middle Tennessee Electric, serving to make life better since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking about the Rutherford County Library System and everything that the library system has to offer. We have Amanda Caperton with us this morning and Mike Cleaves. How are both of you guys doing today?
We are doing fantastic.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Good. So what all is new at the library?
Everything. Our bookmobile just had its 1 year anniversary last month. So it's been 1 year of having it out in service in the community, and it's been pretty amazing.
And for those who are maybe new to the area, this is a new bookmobile.
Yeah, we got it last year in January after a 2 year layoff trying to actually get it built back up. So this is our first year having a bookmobile in service since 2020.
This bookmobile, the purchasing of it, that all started during COVID. So I guess that's what took so long to get it all together.
A lot of the issue was just sourcing parts. We would sit waiting for 6 or 7 months just to get a chassis or something like that to come in. So it took a minute.
Now, what are some of the things that this bookmobile offers?
It's a fully functioning library, so when we're on site, we can kind of offer anything that you get at any of our regular libraries. So we have a full collection of books on board. We have a Wi-Fi that people can log on to for free. We have notary services. We have we can bring holds to you. We do story times and crafts for kids at school. So anything that you can kind of expect from a proper library, we can do it.
What kinds of different things did you run into over that first year of operation with this?
it was a lot of a learning curve. I was trying to figure out where to use it in the community. And that was a big challenge, especially how to find places to go into rural parts of Rutherford County, where people are a little bit further from one of our libraries. So finding places to park was always a big challenge. And I always ask people, if you know a place for us to park, if we want to go out to Rockvale or Walter Hill or something like that, give me a shout because we'd love to come out and park out there.
So what was that like going out to some of these more rural areas? Because, in some parts of Rutherford County, it is pretty desolate.
It can be, but people always come out. And one thing we always hear is, I'm so glad you're coming out here. It's a long drive for me to come downtown, so this is a big help for you to come out here and bring me my bookshop and drop things off. Also, you end up parking in a lot of weird places.
Like out in the middle of a farmer's field, cornfield here.
The side of the road, church parking lots, a cemetery once. So anywhere we can kind of find where there's sort of public open land that we can sort of park. If we don't have anyone to give us permission to park someplace, we'll kind of go there and see if we can make it work.
There's a lot more rural areas than I think people realize in Rutherford County.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of made the bookmobile important to our library system, is reaching those people who are way out on the other side of the county where we often aren't at.
Are you still able to offer Wi-Fi in those areas or internet service for those who come out there?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as I can tell, we haven't had any issues out in rural parts of Rutherford County yet. So knock on wood, but yes.
I'm curious, have you talked to folks in other counties or maybe even other states, other cities that have bookmobiles that have rural areas to cover?
We have. So there's a bookmobile convention every year. It's called the Association of Bookmobile and Outreach Services. And that's a really good chance to go talk to people around the country who deal with bookmobile in very different capacities than we do. With Rutherford County, it's populated enough that there's always something nearby, and you get to talk to people who are bookmobiling in counties where there's nobody for hours, and learning tips from them was incredibly helpful for how we can service our county in different ways.
What are some of the more interesting stories you've heard? I mean, you don't have to name the exact location, but I'm sure there's some very odd stories out there.
There was a library in Northern California or Southern Oregon, but they would have to bring camping equipment with them because they were so far from their library. If there was a snow or a flood or anything like that, they had to prepare to be out on site. So when they would go out for the day, they didn't know if they were coming back at the end of the night. And I thought that sounded like kind of a fun adventure. I don't know if I want to do it every day, though.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah, I would not have expected that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and when you talk about Oregon, I mean, there's some really mountainous areas that are quite different from here.
Well, yeah, and they gave a talk on what to do when you're out there, because they'd have to bring emergencies, medical stuff like that and camping gear. And they would tell you that we'd be out there for 3 days sometimes.
Man. That's in the freezing weather too. I mean,
yeah,
if you're snowed, trapped in,
you're kind of there, and that's just what you got to do.
What are some of the other ones that you heard?
We had a really fun one with a bookmobile up in Michigan that was every winter they would have reindeer come down and at the park system, and they would have this whole Santa Claus thing. And I thought that was kind of fun. I'd love to do that here.
What about crime? Any of the bookmobiles across the country robbed or anything crazy like that?
I haven't heard of that yet. And you think it would be a bigger issue, but I've never encountered it here, certainly. And I've never heard of anyone encountering it elsewhere.
That's good. It hadn't happened.
People just respect the library.
That's right. You don't have a lot of gangs, I guess, going after books and things like that.
It's true, yeah.
I don't really even know what the resale value is on a library book.
You know, I don't know. I'll have to look into that.
I know at McKay's it's not not the most lucrative right. way to get a gift card from them.
Apparently it's not a hot item for the cartel or gang members out there. I don't know.
I don't think it is.
The little engine that could is just not really on their short list of things they're looking out for.
Oh, yeah, I had to do it for the kids. Wanted to get the kids some Christmas books. So anyway, so what else is happening out there within the world of the bookmobile?
You know, last year, a lot of people really came out for the bookmobile. I think a lot more than we thought we would, because we actually broke records last year. We had our biggest year ever circulation. We had over 30,000 circulations last year just on bookmobile, and I think we had over 20,000 visitors. For a bookmobile that's just going to schools, being in rural areas, and going to special events, that's a lot of people have came out and actually interacted with our bookmobile. It was really heartening to see that the county could really use this resources after we got it.
The start date for this particular bookmobile, because the other one, it broke down, and I think it broke down around the beginning of COVID, and they couldn't find parts to fix the pre-existing bookmobile. So that's when the decision, I guess, was made to get a new one. When that first one shut down, how much time went on between that one and then this new one going out on the road?
I think we had the new one on the road in February of last year, so I think it was almost exactly 3 years. The original bookmobile went down, I think, in April of 2020, and so it was pushing right upon 3 years.
So you went 3 years without having a bookmobile circulating?
We did. We bookmobiled out of the back of a minivan for a long time.
I was about to say, you were still out there.
Oh, yeah, we were active.
Books to the community, yep. But you were just in that minivan instead.
Nobody knew who you were. Just,
no, no.
There's some random minivan out here parked in a church parking lot every day.
It was labeled.
Well, it's good it was labeled, because I could just hear the stories now. There's some weird guy out there reading a book every day. There's nobody sitting there listening.
Yeah. We have a minivan that's in service for our library system, but yeah, we would load up big crates every morning and we would have to set them up by stop. So we would go out with 8 or 9 crates of books, load them out, load them back in, set up libraries inside of buildings, and then do library that way. It was a great way to keep it running, but I'm glad we don't have to do it anymore.
3 years, for the most part, without a traditional bookmobile on the road. And in that 3 year period, Rutherford County grew.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember as we were waiting for it to come in, we were kind of thinking of all the different ways that we could be using this, and we couldn't. And that was really frustrating. I think we're kind of getting it at just the right time.
With this new one, from what I understood, whenever they were putting everything together, the plans for it, there's like a flat screen TV in there. I mean, there's a lot going on within that bookmobile.
We don't have the TV yet. We don't have a really place to mount it yet. We're trying to figure out where to put it. We did just add a media cabinet, so now we're actually be able to bring out computers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're out on site, if someone needs access to an actual computer to do some work while we're out there, we can do that too.
In some of the more rural areas of Rutherford County, do folks utilize the internet in order to apply for a job, maybe to submit a resume? Do they need help with that? What do you see there?
A lot. We've had people show up and do homework that way. You know, just to get online and do that. A lot of it's just looking things up for people, especially older citizens of Rutherford County who don't necessarily know how to look things up will come out to us and use our Wi-Fi and we'll just help them find things online and give them service. We haven't had any job resume stuff yet, but we certainly offer that if you want to come down. Please ask.
Are there a lot of elderly citizens who live in these rural areas and maybe they don't have internet service?
We encountered that a bit when we were doing our, one of the ways we funded the bookmobile was we did a grant where we offered tablets to citizens of Rutherford County and kind of taught them about technology. And we ran into that a lot where people were unable to use it because they just didn't know how to do it or they just didn't have access to it. And in both cases, I think it was really helpful.
And what has been the most surprising thing that you've learned, maybe that you never thought would happen through the bookmobile?
I think some of the big turnouts we get, because there's a lot of events I go to where you're kind of thinking, well, we're here, but it's not going to be a big deal. And the amount of people that'll come over and just want to tour it and say, oh, this is the coolest thing. I've never seen something like this. I always find that really nice.
Again, Mike Cleaves with us, and also Amanda Caperton from the Rutherford County Library System. Now, I remember when I was a kid growing up, there used to be a bookmobile that would visit the school, and they had books that the school library itself didn't have. Do you still visit schools today?
We do. More often than not, it's private schools. We do a homeschooling co-op. We do it a lot of preschools and daycares. We do some private schools. The public schools we don't tend to go to as often because they do have libraries, but we'll go do events with them as well. But we're very active with the school department, especially special events like literacy nights and career nights. We're always on hand for those.
The school libraries 20, 30 years ago, they were nowhere near as large as they are today. They didn't offer as much as the school libraries do today.
Yeah, they're impressively big. I hadn't been into a school library in quite a long time before I'd taken this job, and they're a lot different than I remember when I was growing up, but they do a very good job curating libraries over there.
Have you had any issues with this new bookmobile yet?
We've had some issues with the build, but nothing crazy. I think with a bookmobile, it's such a unique build that sometimes things are going to go wrong that you don't expect to go wrong, but they've been great about fixing them, and it's kept us on the road, so nothing yet.
Is it pretty big?
27 feet in length.
Like a motorhome, like an RV, I guess.
Yeah, it's not as big as our old bookmobile, but it's deceptive in its size. When you get on, it feels like it's a lot bigger than it is. I always tell people when I'm training them how to drive it that it's not as big as it looks.
Kind of walk us through when you do go out to these rural areas, you park and folks actually get on there in order to look at different books you have. They walk through it. What do they do?
Yeah, so just like when you would come to Lyme Buff Public Library over here, people will just come on and browse. You know, they'll ask for book recommendations. They'll ask if we can bring out holds to them. It's the same library time that we would have here in one of our brick and mortar branches, just out on the road. Like I always say, we're bringing a library to your door, so just come on and down and do whatever you want to do.
And you're literally bringing it to their door for the most part.
Literally, yes.
If anybody would like to set up a time to have the bookmobile come out, maybe to their church, maybe to their civic organization or something, how do you set that up?
You can reach out to me. I'm the bookmobile coordinator, and probably the easiest way to reach me is at Lyme Buff Public Library. I can give you the number. It's 615-893-4131, and my extension's 113. And if we have an opening, I am more than happy to book you. We're trying to get set up for the coming year. So if you have an event coming up at your school, your church, a civic, anything like that, that you think the bookmobile will be good for, reach out to me anytime. We'd love to book you.
Sounds good. Again, Mike Cleaves with us with the Rutherford County Library System, and then also Amanda Caperton. And Amanda, turning to you a little bit here, I know you have a lot to talk about, but the Library of Things, I've heard a little bit about it, but not a whole lot. What is that Library of Things?
So it is at the Technology Engagement Center. And for those who don't know, the Technology Engagement Center is a branch of our library system that is a little more non-traditional. We don't house books on the facility, but we do house a lot of technology for the public to come and use. But a lot of that stuff is in-house use. And we ran into a number of use cases where people wanted or needed to, you know, take items with them for an amount of time. So we worked together, and Kathleen Tyree, the branch manager over at the Technology Engagement Center, spoke to other libraries who were doing Libraries of Things and said, I think we can do this. So it really is just exactly what it sounds like, Library of Things, where we house common objects that you might need, as well as some things that you might want but aren't going to go out and purchase because you're not going to be using them that often, maybe like a board game or, you know, science experiment kind of kits for children, where maybe instead of dropping $40, $50, you know, dollars on this thing that maybe you and your family is going to play one or two times and then it's just going to sit on the shelf, you could instead just visit the library or visit our website at explore.rclstn.org and browse the Library of Things, see if there's a board game you're interested in. We also have a microscope and other sort of non-traditional objects like a telescope, binoculars. We have more usage. We have digitizing equipment. If you're digitizing old film footage, if you're digitizing old VHS footage, things like that, to preserve it, as we run into the issue of, you know, VCRs not being as common for people to find and play their old home videos, and the degradation of a VHS over time too. So we try to offer things that people need, but they can't necessarily go out and buy, or maybe they aren't even aware it's really something that they can get. So I think it's a really nice catalog. You can, again, browse it online, or if you're not as interested in not seeing the things, we do have them at the Technology Engagement Center. So you can come browse our catalog there and get familiar with what's in it. And we even recently got a sewing machine. So if you're the kind of person who sews but don't have a sewing machine at home, or you want to learn how to sew but you don't want to invest in a sewing machine right off the bat, we have one that you're able to check out. And we also have one in-house that we are doing orientations on once a month that you can keep an eye on our social media or go into our website again and look for when those are going to be, because you do have to register for them because she can only take so many people at once. But we're really trying to bring more digital literacy to the community and just sort of provide those things, like I said, that, you know, you're just not really able to justify that purchase. You know, it's like, I want to use something one time and then just be able to take it back. And a lot of services out there aren't offering that. So I think it's just a really good way to get more people doing and learning more things.
It's really interesting to watch how the library kind of grows with the times and changes, because mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of changes over the last 10 years or so, big changes within the library.
Yeah, I would have to agree. We've gone Find Free now, and we are doing our best to provide a lot more digital literacy. I feel like, especially just since I've been a part of the library for the past five and a half years, it's been a really big deal of mine, at least, to see what we can do in the community. We worked with the TOP grant many years in the past, which allows us to bring on other educators to be at the different branches and off-site classes to offer digital literacy. One thing that we do offer a lot of right now are the computer basics classes. Mike was talking about, you know, running into people who don't, you know, sure, you can put a laptop in front of them, but if they don't know what to do with it, they're still stuck at square one. So we have at the Technology Engagement Center, we offer computer basics classes once a week or twice a week, depending. He has to, you know, adjust his schedule when he's doing other things, because we are all volunteer based for the most part. But then also we have an IT person out in Smyrna, Ryan Gilbert, who offers computer basics classes out there on like a weekly basis. I think they're Thursdays, but you can always check on our website, rclstn.org, or of course, go on our social media. We're at rclstn on Facebook and on Instagram. Check us out and see what we've got coming up, because we're offering that stuff a lot. And then if you are the kind of person who doesn't want to sit in a class, right? Maybe that setting is a little intimidating for some people. We also offer one-on-one tech help. Trey Gwynn, who is our technology and outreach coordinator, he allows one-on-one where you bring in exactly what your issue is. You can bring in your personal device and he's going to sit there with you. And he's usually around for 1 or 2 hours. I mean, constantly at the different branches. So there, we have that schedule online as well.
For anybody listening who I would say is 45 years old plus, they probably are the most amazed at that age group, 45 plus, to see all the different changes implemented within the library. Because I remember, for example, when I was in middle school and high school, typing was one of those classes you had to have in order to graduate high school. You had to have a typing class. But now, I don't even know if they have typing classes, but you see that trickle over into technology and trickle over into the library system, and what the library offers is just wild to see all the differences. I mean, from these computer classes being taught at the library to being able to print in 3D at the library.
Oh, yes, we do have the 3D printers, and we have those at Smyrna now, too. So we have it at the Technology Engagement Center and at Smyrna. So before, it was fairly exclusive to the Technology Center, but Ryan, again, really great IT guy out there, was like, I want to get this on the roll. He also teaches Tinkercad. So if you're into 3D design, then he's also teaching intro classes for that software.
On that subject of volunteers, I know you said you have a lot of volunteers that make a lot of this stuff happen. Mm-hmm. Can anybody who's listening who maybe has a background in computer technology somehow, can they get involved and help out at the library?
Oh, 100%. We have an entire volunteer page on our website if they want to volunteer in that official capacity. But also you can just reach out, Trey Gwynn, it's TGWINN at RCLS. tn.org. And he is our technology and outreach coordinator. So he does a lot of the coordinating for the different computer classes that we offer at the library. He gets instructors teaching people how to use, you know, graphic design software, how to set up a podcast for the first time. You know, he's covering a wide berth of digital literacy.
And of course, you have a podcast studio there at the Tech Center as well.
We do. We have a recording studio at the TEC and at MGL Library that people are less familiar with. It's our branch inside of the Patterson Park Community Center. And you don't need Patterson Park membership to go to the library. That keeps people from going in sometimes. But you just go right in and say, I'm going to the library, and they'll point you in the direction.
Now, in order to use any of these services, do you have to have a library card?
To attend classes or just to come to the library and use a computer, absolutely not. But if you want to use the recording studio or the 3D printer, things like that, those will require a library card to be used.
And then, of course, to check out books, to check out anything from the Library of Things.
Yeah, Library of Things, you 100%, will need a library card.
For the Library of Things, if you want to go rent a pair or check out a pair of binoculars, do you have to put a deposit down or do you just use your library card?
Not at all. It is completely free for you. Just bring your library card and we will either put it on hold for you if somebody else has it checked out and let you know when it comes in, or you can take it with you right then and there.
Cool. And how many days do you get that item for?
If it has a hold on it, it's going to be a shorter amount of time. I think it's either 7 days or 2 weeks. I'm not 100% sure. It might be dependent on the item. I know for our other things that are not technically library of things, like our Quest kits and citizen science kits that are geared towards children and STEM. So it's like all science experiments or engineering kits, things like that. Those are 2 week checkouts.
Okay.
So I would imagine the Library of Things is no different.
And again, for anybody listening who does not know where the Tech Center is, it's kind of on the back half of Hopgood School.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We kind of share a parking lot with them a little bit.
Then the MGL Library, that's in Patterson Park.
Yes.
Of course, you have a library in Eagleville, Smyrna, of course, Murfreesboro, the downtown library. Well, what am I leaving off here?
The bookmobile.
The bookmobile, of course. It's everywhere.
And the historical research center over on Rice, on mm-hmm. Rice Street.
That's right.
That's a great facility. If you want to do some research into like genealogy or just research the history of your town or see some old cool books or anything like that, definitely swing on by and see Kayla, because she's doing a great job over there.
And you can learn a lot about Rutherford County there.
Oh, absolutely. I believe it's coupled with the county archives as well. So it's expanded what we offer as a library, because we have that facility on site as well now as a partnership. And you can dig in deep and find some cool stuff. Old yearbooks. I even saw some old phone books here the other day. So
what's a phone book?
Right.
Now, I know we only have like a minute left here, but I know a local business in town, they went there to research their business. They wanted to know more about where they had advertised, you know, in the 1950s, 1960s, and they wanted pictures. It was cool that they could do that.
And it's a lot of information that you really can't find online.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff that you may be able to Google it, but go look in a book, because it's probably there if you can't find it.
It's on, some stuff is on microfiche or transferred to a computer.
Yeah, microfilm, and I think they're digitizing. I'm not sure. I would have to ask her about that. But yeah, they have a lot of resources.
Very cool stuff. Again, Mike Cleaves and Amanda Caperton with us this morning from the Rutherford County Library System, and we've got even more coming up about different things, different events that are part of the library system after this break. But again, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. Come do business with my family. You'll find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street right here in Murfreesboro. As your local pet store, we're here to build relationships. That's just one of the reasons that we've been a staple of the Murfreesboro community for more than 34 years. Come see why Animal City is the trusted choice for pet owners all across town. Visit us today at 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro. You can also find us on Instagram at AnimalCityTN.
Friends? Yes. The financial partners whom you've built a relationship with at Old National Bank are still at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard location, right here in the borough. And so are the warm, homemade cookies.
Cookies are ready, dear.
Like Grandma used to make. If you need online and mobile banking, Murfreesboro's Old National Bank does that too. You and Old National Bank, better together.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.
We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit MTE.com. MTE.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better
since 1936.
Hello from the Rutherford County Library System. This is Amanda bringing you library news and events from our five branches around the county and what's going on at your library system. Linebaugh Public Library has partnered with Autism Tennessee to launch new programs designed to make the library more inclusive and welcoming for autistic patrons, neurodiverse families, and the entire community. Thanks to funding from the KFC Foundation, Linebaugh now offers a relaxing area equipped with comfortable seating and resources to support sensory needs, sensory kits that are available for use in the library or for checkout, including STEM aids and other tools to enhance comfort during library visits or at home, as well as updated collections, including books and materials authored by autistic people offering neuroaffirming perspectives and valuable insights into neurodiversity. Thank you so much to Autism Tennessee and the KFC Foundation for working with the Rutherford County Library System to create a more inclusive community. And remember, it's not too late to sign up for the Harry Nelson Winter Reading Program at Linebaugh or the Walter King Hoover Winter Reading Challenge in Smyrna. We challenge you to read and review 6 books in 6 weeks from February 2nd to March 15th. Read what you like. There will be drawings and prizes. All you need to participate is a library card. Reviews can be as long or as short as you please. Registration is open now, and you are not limited to only one of the 2 programs. So visit Linebaugh Library and Smyrna Library to sign up and resolve to read this winter. Also, you are not required to be an RCLS cardholder to attend live events and groups or to visit the library. Now let's hear from Linebaugh Youth Services.
Hello, this is Katie Turner, Youth Services Coordinator at Linebaugh Public Library.
And this is Ollie Miller, Youth Services Assistant at Linebaugh.
Our Imagine Your Story Storytime theme continues with our all-ages story times on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and itty-bitty story times on Thursdays. Story times include a mix of stories, songs, and puppet shows for the big kids, and lap bounces and finger plays for our itty-bitty friends.
Do you have a child who is struggling or a new reader? Does your child love to read? Does your child love dogs? We have the perfect opportunity for you here at Linebaugh. Call to register to read to a trained reading education assistance dog. The dogs love to listen to children read while being petted and cuddled. Stevie and Paris will be here on Mondays from 3:30 to 5, and Frankie the Poodle is here on Saturdays. Call ahead to sign up.
Especially for our homeschool families, Library 101 workshops meet on the second Monday of each month at 11 a.m. We've done a library scavenger hunt, learned how to search for nonfiction books, and on March 10th, we'll be discussing reference materials.
The Teen Board Game Club is brand new. Come test out your strategic prowess with fun and challenging board and card games on the third Friday of every month at 3:30 p.m. February's game spotlight will be Cards Against Humanity, Library Edition.
Calling all aspiring authors, we've started a new creative writing club at Linebaugh. Tweens and teens can learn about different types of creative writing, practice them, and share their work with friends on the first and third Tuesdays of each month from 4 to 5:30 p.m.
Linebaugh's Teen Anime and Manga Club will be discussing our favorite antagonists. Come to Linebaugh on March 8th with your top 3 favorite anime and or manga antagonists so we can discuss what makes them bad or just misunderstood.
All of these great programs for tweens and teens are thanks to our Teen Advisory Board. Do you have an idea for a program here at Linebaugh? Do you need service hours for school or clubs? The Teen Advisory Board, or TAB for short, meets on the first Saturday of each month at 3 p.m. You can fill out an application to join TAB on the Youth Services page on our website or email Taylor Davis at tdavis@rclstn.org for more information.
We're planning big things for Read Across America Week in March. Stay tuned for more details and to see if we'll be reading at your child's school.
In this age of technology and social media, it's important to be safe online. Kids in 2nd through 4th grades can learn all about digital safety in our Being Cyber Safe for Kids workshop on Saturday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. Space is limited, so please register in advance on our website.
The Reading Pause Program, Girls Who Code Club, Sensory Sessions with Love Learning Music, Teen Anime and Manga Club, and Teen Advisory Board are all still in full swing. For more information about any of Limbaugh Library's programs, please contact 615-893-4131, extension 114. Visit our Youth Services page at rclstn.org. Or follow us for all of our events on the RCLS Facebook page.
We hope to see you soon at Limbaugh.
The Friends of Limbaugh Library invite you to become a member. For over 40 years, Friends has given its support to such library activities as the summer and winter reading programs, the Pen Pals program that brings children's book authors to schools, and the popular Bookmobile. Membership forms may be picked up at the circulation desk at Limbaugh Library, Myrtle Glanton Lord Library, and Tech, or email us at foalintheborough@gmail.com. Once you join, you will receive our quarterly e-newsletter, access to 2 members-only book sales, and an invitation to our local author event. We look forward to your support.
This is Cassandra Taylor with Smyrna Public Library. Stop in and check out our new cafe where you can grab a coffee before joining us for a program, study time, or just a stroll around the library. It's $1 per K-Bod, 50 cents per tea bag, and 25 cents per paper cup with a lid. If you bring your own cup, you'll be saving money and the environment. Read a Latte with the Walter King Hoover Winter Reading Challenge is Smyrna Public Library's winter reading program. Read 6 books in 6 consecutive weeks and log your reading progress. Participants can register through Read Squared by selecting the program title or email smyrnareadingprogram@rclstn.org. You can also pick up a review worksheet at the library and turn in your 6 handwritten reviews by March 15th. There are some amazing prizes for all ages, like Squishmallows and Legos for kiddos, and bookish tote bags, mugs, and more for adults. There are some great upcoming special events happening at Smyrna Public Library. On February 26th at 10 a.m., Everybody Drum Some will come and have a rhythmic and expressive performance featuring the African djembe. This is an all-ages event where attendees can get a chance to beat along in the drum circle. On March 15th, the final day of winter reading, the Nashville Children's Opera will be at Smyrna Public Library at 11 a.m. for their presentation of Goldie B. Locks and the 3 Singing Bears. This is a free, no registration required event, no late entries. This is a wonderful opportunity for families to enjoy a unique and entertaining performance while fostering a love for arts in children. We've got some great book clubs at Smyrna Public Library. Join us on Saturday, February 22nd for Novel Nerds. It is a reading talking book club. Do you consider yourself an avid reader? Do you read across multiple genres? Do you love the library? If you answer yes to any of these questions, you may be a novel nerd. We also have a new audiobook club called Booking It. It's Smyrna's Walk and Talk Book Club. Audiobooks are a great way to read. Listen to your audiobook, then talk about it on our walk around the old school rock park. You can also check out an audiobook on CD or MP3 from the library, or visit Libby or Hoopla to find an e-audiobook to listen to. No registration is required. This event is on March 8th from 12 to 2 p.m. For the movie matinees this March, come join us on March 1st from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. for a secret matinee in a wickedly good time. On Monday, March 10th from 12:30 to 2:30, come celebrate Barbie's birthday with a family movie matinee. We have some great adult programming at Smyrna Public Library. Join us this Thursday, February 20th at 6:30 p.m. for Written Word, Smyrna Library's welcoming and inspiring writing group. Whether you're an experienced writer, a curious beginner, or somewhere in between, this group is for anyone passionate about the art of storytelling, poetry, journaling, songwriting, or creative expression. Monday, February 24th at 4, get hooked on yarn with our new yarn group. Supplies will be provided, and you can also bring your own to share. We also offer an after-hours game night, and this month we'll be playing Chameleon on Friday, February 28th at 5:30 p.m. You can also join us for snacks and a really fun time in the library. Get crafty on March 3rd at 4 p.m. and we will be creating paintings by Alma Woodsy Thomas in celebration of Women's History Month. We also have a new patron-facing 3D printer orientation. Fridays at 11:30 a.m., come learn how all the basics for 3D printing and how to create your own masterpieces. Join us afterwards for Intro to Tinkercad and learn how to make your own 3D printables from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. We also are very excited for our all-ages chair yoga, Fridays at 1:15. This is a great way to exercise and stretch in between reading all those books and making all those 3D printables.
Hello, it's Kathleen from the Technology Engagement Center, located next to Hopgood Elementary School. Upcoming in our STEAM clubs, Tiny Tech and Tinker Tech, we'll talk about our amazing bodies, cool things about the human form, lungs and breath, our structure, our strong and exacting hands. We are all so amazing. Come by and celebrate humans with us. It's time, story time in March. It's all about spring. We know it's still cold outside, but you can see the first hints of the new season, and we are ready. If you like a smaller event with a big amount of fun, join us for story time at the Tech. Our homeschool STEAM club is back for kids ages 5 and up on the first Friday of the month. Check out our events calendar for more information. Books and Brews eBook Club meets monthly at various venues in Murfreesboro. Do check the RCLS calendar and the Facebook group for specific details. We strive to find titles available via Hoopla and embrace all formats. The Sci-Fry Book Club is moving its meeting day to the last Sunday of the month versus Friday. Check out the book group page for details. Our Glowforge laser cutter orientation is still weekly. Please sign up in advance as the space is limited. The Tech's 3D print orientation is now monthly on the third Sunday. Feel free to inquire, though, about other options. We have a new sewing machine orientation, which takes place on the fourth Sunday of the month, and pre-registration is required for this as well. The Adult Maker Club is on the first Sunday of the month, always a good time. Watch for the sign-up form on social media and get your craft on with us. Computer Basics, HiSET, ESL, and Tech Coaching all meet regularly at the Tech. Check the online calendar or give us a call if you have questions. Pre-registration is required for the HiSET and ESL classes, which are provided by Workforce Essentials. There are plenty of interesting computer classes being offered. Check the events calendar and social media for more details and times. Do let us know what interests you. We love input. If you're a computer beginner but you can't make the afternoon class, basic computer use is being offered on the last Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. Chuck the Duck will be back at our last Saturday coding class. We'll be focusing on movement in Godot Gaming. Where will Chuck go next? The Python class went so well last month that we are back with more. Join us on February 26th and get your code on. You know that the Tech has amazing STEAM kits and citizen science kits. Well, the fun has spread throughout the system. Watch the other RCLS branches for their own collections, which are arriving soon. We're planning a Pi Day board game event, Friday 3:14 and for Saturday 3:15. Come play games, math, strategy, chance, have some pie, and honor the mathematical constant. More details will be posted on our events calendar.
The Rutherford County Library System comprises 6 branches and a bookmobile throughout Rutherford County, including Linebaugh, Smyrna, Eagleville, MGL inside Patterson Park, the Technology Engagement Center, and the newly opened Historical Research Center. And remember, all RCLS events are free and open to the public unless otherwise stated. Please check our calendar at rclstn.org and social media for a full list of virtual and in-person programming and events. For a list of all the events you heard here today and for more information, please call 615-893-4131 or visit rclstn.org.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant. So many people buy so many different things. You know, I go out to eat and I like eating steak, where my wife will end up getting her salmon. Our salmon is cut fresh, so she loves her salmon. It's one of those places that you can go, you can get pastas or chicken, you know, the kids love it. Get what you want at Demas's Restaurant and not be limited just to one or two items. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.